What a pleasure to be here. I've got to say this to you, that I'm so impressed with this company and your leadership. Doc Lyons and I have gotten close. He's a mentor and a friend. But it was more than just who he was. It's what he stands for. It's about us going to Haiti, to the school that's been developed there, to trying to figure out ways of helping these young people make a better life for themselves. We went to the Citadel, Cafe Citadel, where he's also doing things for that community, to bring that community back. Bringing students here to sing, to get on our campus, to see what this is about. That's what impresses me the most about this company and its leadership. Why don't we give Doc a hand for all that he does in these communities? Now, he asked me to come and talk to you about coaching extreme talent. Now, he's telling you about all the wins and success we've had, but it's based on the fact that we have really talented, extremely talented players who, 26 of them in 6 years have gone on to the NBA. 26. Now, it's coaching their bodies, but it's also coaching their mind. And I've had a lot of help. Declan Coral, where are you, Declan? There he is. From Ireland, he's coming in and helped my team. Great sports psychologist. You know we appreciate you and what you've done. Getting me to be more positive. Coach, be positive. Get on that green platform. There's times I'm on that other platform. But let me tell you what I did. I put this together for you so that I can kind of give you an explanation. How do we do this? And it all starts with players first. Their dreams become our dreams. Their dreams become our dreams. Last year, we started the season with a goal. You may think that goal was to win the national title, win all the games, and be... It was to get 8 players drafted. Well, how can you be about your team if you're worried about players getting drafted? Well, we kind of work it the other way. What are your dreams? What are you looking for? What are you trying to get out of life? How can we help you with that? By doing that, they understood, by us taking that approach, there's only one way that could happen. If they came together and were selfless and understood what servant leadership is about, and if they did historic things. This company over the last 15 years, historic. The gains year to year to year, it's outrageous. Historic. When I talked to Doc Lyons, I said, how many employees now? 4,500 around the world. Families that their dreams are being met by working through this company, which by their dreams being met, they're doing historic things around the world. We're trying to do that with these players. What happened was we had a historic year, fell short of a national title. But 7 players will be in the draft this year. You're going to say, what happened to the 8th? He got hurt. Or we would have had 8. The second part is that if we love them, if we're about them, they then can be about each other. You don't have to worry about you. We got you. I got you. You worry about each other. Servant leadership. I've heard this many times. Leaders are born. No, it's not true. The job I'm in, I have to teach leadership day to day. I have to have individual meetings. Because you're the most personable, because you're the most outspoken, does not mean you understand leadership. Leadership is about serving everyone under you. How do I make your life better? How do I make your life easier? How do I give you the tools that you need to go have success? That's what a leader is. And on a basketball team, it's no different. How do you become your brother's keeper? You ready? How do you work harder for each other? Not just harder for yourself or harder. How do you work harder for each other? That's being your brother's keeper. It moves to, how do we get them to push limits? I'll give you an example. How do we get them to dream bigger? How do we get them to take chances? If they know, I got you. If things don't work, leadership takes responsibility. Never pushes blame anywhere else. How do I get them to understand, dream like you used to dream? When I was growing up, played basketball, had a little hoop in my backyard, and I used to go back there and play all the time, be by myself. I used to score 72 points a game back there. Never lost. Played against all the great pros in my mind. And when my mother called me for dinner, I always took the same shot. To the left corner, falling out of bounds, 3, 2, 1, and I'd make the game winner off the corner of that backboard, and I'd run off the court feeling great. And if I missed, I got fouled. And I would go to that foul line and make those free throws. And if I missed one, he stepped in. I get another one. It's my dream. But I want those kids to fail fast, try things. I got your back. You worry about each other. I'll take care of you. How do we get them to think big? I like to tell the story like think like kings think. We don't think like a king. A king thinks bigger. Arnie Palmer went to the Middle East and built a golf course. And when it was done, the king of that country said, I'd like to give you a gift. Arnie says, no. He's one of our professional golfers of all time here in the United States. And you always accept the gift from the king. Well, he said, okay. He went, flew back home, and he was waiting because what he said to the king is, the king said, what would you like? He said, a golf club would be fine, just a golf club. So he got home, and he was thinking, this is going to be an unbelievable golf club. Well, what comes in the mail is a letter from the king, and it tells him, thank you for your work. And that was it. And Arnie's like disappointed, and he sticks the letter back in the envelope, and there's another piece of paper in there. It's a deed to a golf club. The king thinks different than we think. How do I get my players to think that way? How do we push them to those limits? How do we get them to understand individual skill development? How do we get them to do more personal development, the things that we do in the community? We try to get them to understand money has wings. Fame is fleeting. When you're in that seat, what do you do to leverage it for others? The things that we try to do in our community to get them to understand it's more than just about you. The next phase is, as we succeed, we all benefit. Now it's about, your dream is our dream. We're going to love you. You love each other. We're going to teach you how to lead, how to be a servant leader, how to be a great teammate. We're going to push you to the limits, teach you how to work, teach you not to be afraid to fail. But now it becomes about us. Because if we're all to eat, we have to do historic things. And the only way you can do historic things is do it together. Have a group of young people that think it's amazing what gets done when no one cares who gets the credit. It's amazing what gets done when no one cares who gets the credit. A lot of that team starts in our recruiting process. When we recruit, who we recruit, they got to be talented. Do they share? Are they curious? If they're missing two of those three, or maybe one of those three, it's hard for us to recruit them. And then when we do recruit them, we undersell and over-deliver. Academically, we've graduated 14 guys in 6 years. We've had a 3.0 grade point average for 5 years. We just were voted one of the best schools in the APR in the country. Not at the expense of academics. You're going to class. You're going to do your work. You're going to have a love of learning before you leave us. But you also have a chance to be drafted. Number one, the lottery, you have a chance to create for your family your dream. So as we're doing this and we're talking about that recruiting process, we undersell. Don't promise you're going to start. We're not promising shots or minutes. You come with us. You're going to be in a passionate organization that cares about you, and you're going to get better. Your dreams are going to be our dreams, but we're not making outlandish promises. This is how it's going to, and it's going to be the hardest thing you've ever done. Working for this company is not easy. How many of you get that morning email from Doc Lyons every morning? The motivational, I get it too. I get it. I mean, it's not easy being in this company. And I'll tell you what, you're pushed, but it's the same with our team. I want you and my team to feel you got people that care about you and want you to do well and are going to give you the tools to do well. But you are responsible for you, which is what I tell my team. You are responsible for you. I'll tell you from that, as we benefit, we all reach our dreams. Now, this year, we were trying to win every game, and we fell short of what we were trying to do. But we still did historic things this year, and 7 players are going to be drafted. And I can tell you, the way I am right now, my focus on my kids, I feel great about what happened because players got better. They did what they're having to do. College basketball is not the NBA where it's best of 7. It's one game. You lose one game, you're out. And I think, again, what we try to do as a staff is make it about them and not us. It's not personal. The winning and the losing is not personal for me. I will say this, and lastly, and then I want Doc to come out because I want him to ask me questions that would really be more pertinent. I always want to feel my guys out and say, what is your why? And I would ask you to think about, what is your why? Why are you doing what you're doing? For me, the mission statement or mission for me would be to be a vehicle to help others reach their dreams, to be the stone that creates the ripple in their lives that goes on and on and on and on. That's my mission. Now, in our state, they want my mission to be win national titles. Win national titles. My mission is bigger than that. It's to be the vehicle that helps others reach their dreams, be the stone that creates a ripple in their lives that go on and on and on. And I would ask you, what is your why? Why are you doing this? What do you want your life to be? And at the end of the day, why are you living your life? And I said it on the screen here. When you make your life about everyone else within your company, I'm going to be here to make everyone else's life better. I'm going to be in what I do with this customer. My job is to make his life better. And that's what I'm about. Life becomes easier. It becomes easier. So let me stop at this point. I want to bring out my mentor and, I have to tell you, my godfather. I don't make moves unless I talk to him first. Do I have your blessing? Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. Doc Lyons.
Well, first of all, coach, it's only business. You know, it's one thing to get talent, and it's one thing to attract that talent. It's quite another thing to get that talent into that championship mode. How do you do that?
Well, again, there's a, you know this day and age, they're into themselves, and you got to have them. How do you get them out of that mode and into everybody else? Now, to be a servant leader, I had a young man here, Michael Kidd Gilchrist, 18 years old, was the youngest freshman in the country. We're playing in a big game late in the year, and he tells me, take me out of the starting lineup and start Darius Miller. Like, what? He's playing so poorly, we need him to win a national title. Play him instead of me. Really? Now, Michael was going to be drafted 2, 3, 4 in the draft, and he gave up his position. I did it because he asked me to. We lost the game, but we won the national title because from that point on, Darius Miller's game went up and up and up. That's a servant leader. Now, think about a 17, 18-year-old. That's who I'm coaching, 19-year-olds. Their whole life, they get up, all they're thinking about is themselves. They sleep, and they dream about themselves. And to get them to think about others, they have to know we are about you. I got you. Michael ended up being the number 2 pick in the draft. Think about that. And he gave up his position. How many of us in this room would step back because we know someone's struggling and they need something that I've earned, but I'm going to let you step in this right now to get yourself going? Think about our company here. What would happen if we do those kind of things for each other? The growth that you have, it has to be happening already. The growth that you have in this company is like, it's outrageous. So it has to be happening already in pockets. How about if it's company-wide that we're working for each other? That's what I try to get my team. This team I just coached, they played for each other. That's why we won 38 straight games, which has never been done in the history of our game. They played for each other.
I always remember an amusing story you told. Coach has a great book called Bounce Back. And one of the stories in there is they've just gone to the Final Four, and he's all about himself, or he thinks he's all about himself. And then that young person came up and asked you the question.
Tell me what the question is. It was my book. That was 2 books ago.
So he thought that she was asking about the coach and the game. And what this young person was asking him to do is, would you mind taking a picture of my friend and myself?
Yes, he comes up to me and says, can I have a picture? So I'm all proud of myself, you know, yeah. No, I want you to take the picture. That's what it was. Yeah. That brought me back to earth real fast.
We've traveled many, many places together, and we go to Venezuela, and in Venezuela, he's the man, and he's marching ahead, and everybody's this and that, and he's on the TV and so forth. We go to the president's palace. Coach Cal marches forward and goes way past all the TV cameras,
and
your
who
friend
do they approach?
George Arias. Tell us about
George,
that.
Where are you? I know. Stand up, George. Stand up. George Arias. Give him a hand. Because, and I believe it was in the Dominican Republic. Coach is slipping a little bit, but I'm going to keep him on point. He talked to the media like he was me. Just talked, and I was like in the background saying, what is he saying? Jorge, what is he talking about? So we've had some fun traveling. This thing we do when we travel, most of the time we're talking about people. How do we help? What do we do? Where do you, he's asking me questions. I'm asking him questions. How do you do this? Tell me how you get your people so enthused. And then you get around them a little while. And can I tell you? He's like this, and then he'll take a 10-minute nap on you. Jorge, Willie, 10-minute nap, boom, and totally out. And then wake up and be enthused again. Like, okay, let's go. We're doing. I said, what is this guy's nuts? He's out of his mind.
thank you. I guess I got to be careful because he may start giving away too many secrets. And I'll give you a secret. So we're down in Haiti, and you're doing wonderful things about Haiti, and maybe you can share that with us. And we're wandering over to where we have two schools, guys. I mean, and here's the plug, because those two schools depend on that coffee that's out there. So Coach is there, and he said, yeah, I'll do whatever I can to promote the coffee. And we're walking out to the schools, and he comes up to me. He said, Pierce, where's the bathroom? I said, choose your bush. It's over there. What have you done in Haiti?
Well, we've done a lot, but let me tell you about the schools. And he'll tell you, we all were singing, but I was crying more than singing. And he looks at me like, what is wrong with you? Because we landed, we were in Port-au-Prince, which was totally crushed. We raised money here in a telethon for Haiti, so I had been back a couple times. When we went to the school, we were in a truck that the road, this town is, and my issue was, Doc, we're teaching them how to read and write, and we're doing all these things and feeding them, but what future? I don't see a future around here. I mean, what are they going to do? This depresses me more than what we're doing, which led to we're doing the private schools, and we're going to have them opportunity. How many of them are in Kentucky right now at the University of Kentucky?
Well, with the coach's help, we have just graduated our first young man called, what is his name? Thank you, George. We knew there was a reason we brought you. There is a reason you bring an Argentinian with you. Not too many reasons, but there is one reason. Anyway, James came up here, and James has just done I'm not sure if he's here. He's just done a full degree in agricultural biochemistry and chemistry. And he will be going back there to head up part of our program. In our program, we will be roasting coffee, we'll be raising birds for eggs, we will be making a rum, all in this little town. So was that something? Yeah. So we're flying on the plane, and I'll ask him the same question, and he normally goes right back like this. I said, Coach, he's Italian. Have you noticed that he's Italian? I said, Coach, what's your favorite movie?
Come on. Godfather. What are you talking about?
And then I said, well, what's your favorite scene in that movie?
Well, there are a lot of scenes if you've ever seen it, but I like the one where they go out to the producer out in Hollywood and he turns down the Godfather's request and I'll do anything else, but I'm not doing this. And Tom says, when the Godfather asks for one favor and he's turned down, he will never ask for another. So when Dr. Lyons asks me for favors, I never say no. It's the first thing, I'm in, whatever you need me to do.
Can you write that down? But that actually is the case. When we came up with the idea of the Commonwealth Club, first man I called was Coach. And I said, Coach, what do you think? This is about gathering people together and getting them with us. He said, Doc, whatever you want, it's done. Whatever you want, it's done.
You know, I've got to say this, too. One of the things that you have done, and it's a little bit harder to connect the dots when you're doing it worldwide like you are, but everywhere I've ever coached, when we have success, I want 1,000 people to say, without me, this would have never happened. I want people to truly feel that connected to what we do. And I would say what you're doing here is the same. Without all of you and all this group doing it, it never gets done to the level. I'll say it again. Outrageous what you guys do. Outrageous. Year to year, the grind, it's crazy.
One thing I've always admired about you, Coach, is your ability to change. If something's not working, change. And a few years ago, he had a program. Program was fine, but the team were not coming together. And he talked, and he doesn't ask for the only thing he asks my opinion about is, you know, how to do those dribble exercises and how to shoot those three-pointers. Most of the other stuff, he's in good shape on. So anyway, he said, what do we do? And I said, well, I'll introduce you to a guy. And this man is Declan Coyle over there. And he is the world's most positive man. And Coach says, oh, yeah, I've heard that before. And my son Mark calls him the most positive man. And the great story I always tell about Declan, Declan has a little boy who's challenged physically and health-wise. And they're waiting to see the Pope. And so Declan's carrying this little boy. And says, this little boy will never talk. He will never be fed any way except through his tummy and so forth. So Declan carries this kid all the way up, I'm telling the coach this story, to see the Pope. Well, the Pope gets tired, like other people get tired. And so the Pope doesn't see little Alex. And the most positive man in the world gets up there and he comes back and he's telling me this. And I said, that was terrible. How could that possibly happen? He said, Declan says, the poor Pope. I said, what do you mean the poor Pope? He never got to see Alex's smile. That's my most positive man. But he gave us adapting. I gave Coach the book. Coach went through the book and said, you know what? This is fantastic. And this is the essence of this man. You adapt. Tell us about the book.
Well, what he talks about in here, because things don't always go your way, you got to stay upbeat and positive. Do you mind if I tell a story? When I grew up, my dad would always say, keep things in perspective. It's never quite as good as it seems, and it's never quite as bad as it seems. Be upbeat, be positive, keep perspective. My sister went away to college. She went to Penn State. We hadn't heard from her in about a month and a half. She sends a letter home. My mother reads the letter. The letter went something like this. We were all sitting around, and the letter went, Dear Mom, Dad, Lee, and John, everything here in the Happy Valley, which is Penn State, is great. We're loving it. I love the school. I love the social life. My dorm did burn to the ground, and I lost all my books and belongings. But I've gone to Goodwill, I've borrowed books, I'm all caught up. I moved into a new apartment. I have a new roommate, Jim. And Jim, you're going to love Jim as I do. He's come out of rehab, he's really doing well. My dad now is like, what? The letter goes on to say, Mom and Dad, I want to congratulate you all. I'm becoming grandparents. You will be the greatest grandparents ever. My dad now is, there's sweat. He's like, what? And the bottom of the letter says, your loving daughter, Terry. Dad, all of the above is a lie. I failed chemistry, and I wanted you to keep things in perspective. What Declan did to my team, and we were shorthanded. Nerlens got hurt. We were trying to survive. Nerlens, by the way, was just named All-Rookie in the NBA. It's a great thing for him. And
he's from where?
He's from Haiti. And I have another player coming from Haiti, Scow, who will be on my team this year. And had Carl Towns from Dominican Republic, who's now going to be... Well, Minnesota got it. I don't know if he wants to be the number one because L.A. is the second pick. You may want to, but he's going to be one or two in the draft. We have Michael Malden, who's from Canada, and we have a young man from New Zealand who committed to us. So we're kind of becoming
Anybody
worldwide.
Anybody from New Zealand here?
We're going to make a trip over there. But, you know, this stuff that he's done to keep my mind, hey, it's not always great. And it's not always bad. But you got to keep up. Here's a great one. We win or we learn. No winning or losing. We win or we learn. And we use the experience to make sure we're better.
Also, if you remember, you were beaten by Florida, in Florida, and then you took that run to the final. And when they made it to the final, ESPN said, what was it, Declan, this is your plug, okay? What was it that changed the team? And ESPN said, reading the green platform. And so you might even
we
get...
We had wristbands, we talked about it, to get them in a different frame of mind. Declan, I appreciate you and your friendship. You've been great. Great for this program. Thank you.
There you go. Maybe Declan, you'll sign it later on. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for my favorite coach, the godfather, Coach John Calipari.
Thanks, guys.